How many of you ever cleaned out your closets? How many of you need to clean out your closet? We did this, I guess about a month ago. I get on these kicks where it's time, you know, to just organize and stuff. And over the past year, we've done some traveling. We've gone to New Orleans. We've done different things. I've gotten gifts. And then Tim Steele, thank you, Lord, for having him outgrow some of his clothes, because he brought these huge bags of clothes that he could no longer fit into. And he said, well, I was preaching one day. This is really interesting because I've been wanting a pair of white pants. I don't have a pair of white pants, and I wanted a pair of white pants. I said, Lord, I really like a pair of white pants, but I don't want to go buy white pants. And just a few weeks later, maybe about a month after that, Tim goes, I saw you preaching. For some reason, what size do you wear? And I said, well, I'm 30, 30, 30. And he said, wow, I've got all these pants that are 30, 30s. I said, is there a pair of white pants? And he goes, yes. There was a pair of white pants that even had the tag on it. It had never been worn. Isn't that amazing? But so he gave us all these clothes. So all of a sudden, I put them and hung them up in my closet, right? But there's so many clothes he gave me, I had no room, so I just squished them all together. So when I'd go in, I found myself going in, because it was so cluttered, I couldn't find the new stuff. And I would constantly be wearing the old stuff. And so, this a few months ago, I told Ed, I said, look, we need to clean out our closets, and we get to the Goodwill, and so here we are, we're taking all these clothes and trying them on, if they fit anymore, and all these things, and man, I really went crazy. I just started cleaning out that closet, and all of a sudden, I could actually organize, you know, by color and by the way it looked, and it was so much easier than all this clutter. And I thought, how is that in our own lives? We pick up all this stuff through all of our life, yet we don't get rid of the stuff, one, that we're not using, two, the things that we've outgrown, or three, the things that just don't plain look good on us.
That's good.
We keep it in there, and we're missing the stuff that's new, and that's good, and that does look good on us, and that does fit us. So I think it's time to spiritually clean out some of the old stuff out of your closet. Amen? And I thought, what a great day, New Year's Day, the first day of 2012, to clean out some of that old stuff cluttering your life, cluttering our spiritual closet. In 2 Chronicles 29, 1 through 6, in the Message Bible, it says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old and was king in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother was Abiha, daughter of Zechariah. In God's opinion, he was a good king. He kept to the standards of his ancestor David. On the first day of the first month of the year of his reign, say the first day, first month of the year of God's reign in 2012, he repaired the doors of the temple. We are the temple. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. He assembled the priests and Levites in the court of the east side and said, Levites, listen. Now, you know what Levites are? They were the priests. But if you go to really what it's saying, the worshipers, we're all called to be priests and Levites, those who worship God. We're all Levites. Saying, Levites, listen, consecrate or declare yourselves and consecrate the temple of God. Give this place a good house cleaning. So for the first day of our new year, I want us to declare, it's so funny you mentioned that word, Gina, declaring, we're going to give this place a house cleaning. God, those things that need to be cleaned up in my life, no shame, but those things that need to be cleaned up, I'm going to clean up. Now, Jane said something else that's in my sermon. Y'all kind of preaching it. It's not about resolutions. That's not, like you said, 4 days later, we don't. But when you declare the things of God, listen, when you declare the things of God in your life, that's what changes you. You apply His Word. You're not just declaring a resolution. Where there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. If you can't hope about the future, you'll have no power now. But we can hope in the future because of what God is going to do in our lives. Cleaning out the closet requires letting past go and deciding I'm not going to take this junk in 2012. I have these things, and I have to tell you, the clothes that I cleaned out, as I'm cleaning it out, part of me is just like, oh, I really like that. I remember when I used to wear this. I remember the good times I used to wear that shirt. I remember so many things happened when I had this. Does it fit you? No. Does it look good on you? No. But I remember, oh, I just want to hang on to that shirt because it's got special meaning, yet it's cluttering my closet. Some of us hold on to those things that no longer benefit us because of the memories in the past. And God actually wants to sever some of those memories. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I always think of how wonderful the past was. Mm-hmm. Or anybody like that? It's kind of an optimism thing. It's good. Oh, it was so great. But then when I really think about it, and I really go through everything that took place, it's like, it wasn't always so great. As a matter of fact, sometimes it was pretty hard. You know, some of us are made that way. We just naturally focus on positive things, and that's a good thing. But I used to think of, oh, when I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for 4 years in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I'm thinking, oh, that was a time of my life. God moved. It was such a wonderful time. Those kids were on fire. They loved the Lord. God did so many things. And then I started talking about the times I was brought before the church when a parent got upset because of something, or the times that the church started bickering and the pastor, all these things took place. I'm like, in those 4 years, it wasn't quite so great, but I can still say God was faithful through that situation. So as we're getting rid of the things, we can say, God, thank you for taking me from this old place. Thank you for changing things in my life. We had all these bags, and I have to tell you, because Ashley came over, and if you know Ashley, she's not here, not this Ashley, but Ashley Lane, she likes to straighten and clean things up, and so I had everything kind of in piles. I had all these shirts that were going to go to Goodwill and everything. And Ashley came in one day. She just wants to help, right? So she just takes all these things and she folds them back up and puts them back in the closet. I come in like, where are all of these things that I was going to get rid of? And they were all back hanging in my closet. So what that did was I had to go back through there, and I actually gave away more, which was, I think, was a better thing. Long story short, get rid of the old. Get rid of the things that are not working in your life. There's no reason to hold on to them. They may be hanging in your closet. They may be yours. The coat is yours because you own that coat. But it might be ratted. It might have a hole in it. But it's your coat because it's comfortable to you. Sometimes we walk in shame. Some of you have grown up such in shame that when you take the coat of shame off, like this is a coat of shame, you feel like, oh, I just need to have a coat. Yes, that it's shame. Yes, that it's old stuff. Yes, that it's ratted. Yes, that it's torn, but it fits me. I've worn it for years. I'm comfortable. Oh, get the coat back on me. Oh. Now, you'd have no idea when you're walking around, people are like, ooh, that stinks. Oh, my gosh, you have a hole in it. That looks terrible. But it's my coat. And God is saying, I have a coat that is new and that is whole. Not filled, not of shame, but yet we wear that same thing because we're comfortable with it. It's not a New Year's resolution. That's having faith in the calendar. We're not changing because it's 2012. I am changing because I'm declaring God is going to change me this year. You have a choice. You guys want to go with me? We can change together, or I'll just leave you behind. Honestly, I am not going to settle for the things that have taken place last year. Or the year before. I can tell you, I was on the way over here, and I felt the Lord say, I don't hear this a lot, but I felt him say, you've done good. Sometimes God wants to tell you you've done good in certain areas of your life, but we don't want to receive it. You've done good. You've done good. You've done good. I can look around and see you've done good in areas of your life. You say, oh, first thing, I have so many areas, but that's not what we're focusing on. I'm saying you've done good. And when you actually are able to step into some affirmation in your life, you're able to get rid of some of those old things you're holding on to. He wants to affirm you, that he's proud of you. I can remember when we first started this church, some of you, well, actually none of you were here then. I'm looking around, I think Karen and you know, there's a few of you that were here longer, but you saw some of it. Pastor Keith wore himself out trying to please everybody. Have you ever been there? Oh. You can't do it. You will wear yourself out doing it. You cannot please everybody. You just have to please him. And sometimes you feel like, I'm going to let people down, but God will take care of it. I promise you. I didn't have enough time for everybody. And there were times I had to get hard and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I just don't have time to meet you. But I know who does. Go to him. I used to leave my phone on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I would get texts at 12 o'clock at night, and I would get calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would wake up. And then the next day, I was so tired, I couldn't help the people that actually had appointments with me. Hello? Some of you remember that. Jane remembers a little of that. And God woke me up one day and said, I have not called you to do this. You are doing this because, one, you're being codependent. That'll preach, right? Because it's making you feel good about yourself. Codependency is not spirituality. Codependency is not compassion. They are two separate things. Jesus was filled with compassion, but he told it like it was. Sometimes there are people in our lives that are enabling us and not helping us. If you have any children, you know that there are sometimes those consequences to things they have to do, and that in order to grow up, you have to say, you know what? You have to do this on your own. Mom is not always going to be here to do this for you. So what the child will do is, when they grow up, if their parents haven't done that, they will find another mother or another father to do those things for them in their life. Relationships, let me tell you right now, it will kill your relationship. Anybody been there? It will kill your relationship because all of a sudden you are the one who's having to do everything. I'm holding myself up. I'm holding the relationship up. I'm doing all these things. And all of a sudden you're taking God completely out of it. And you're not letting that person grow into who they are supposed to be. Eddie shared before his tire story. Have you heard the tire story before? A few of you? When we got together, 3 years of our life was codependent. I was there to rescue Ed. Oh, I saw him as a project that just needed help. He, in my opinion, he was a wonderful person, wonderful guy, and I had this wonderful attraction to him, and I loved him, but I wanted to fix him. Oh, gosh, it's quiet in here. I wanted to fix him. And I thought it was because I had a compassionate heart and I just had this heart that... No, it was because I wanted to make myself feel better. When I got down to it, I was meeting my need to fix somebody else. And you know what? God hates that. It is not your job to fix anybody. It is God's job to fix us. And so anyway, so here we are. We're decorating the Christmas tree, right? Every week, Ed's a flight attendant. He has a roller board. The roller boards are those suitcases with the wheels that, you know... So every week, we would get in a fight. You don't love me. You've never loved me. Oh, I love you. You don't love me. You don't care for me. I do. I'm here for you, Ed. And he would take his rollerboard and run to the car. And then we're in Grant Park, and Keith would run out. Oh, Ed, come back. Let's talk. God, you know. And so 3 years, this happened. Christmas time, decorating the tree. I don't know if it was because the tinsel was not right. I can't remember what it was that set it off. It's always those little foxes that spoil the vine, those little things, you know. So I'm decorating the tree, and all of a sudden, he gets mad. Well, I can't do anything right, or something like that. I said, I didn't say that. All of a sudden, that's it. Here he goes with his rollerboard, right? Down the steps. And I was about to turn around, and I heard God say, don't you move. Like that. Don't move. You let me take care of Ed, and you take care of you. So I kept decorating the tree. Like, okay. And I kept there. I said, Lord, he's yours. Lord, you get a hold of him. Lord, you do it. And he kept saying, I will take care of Ed. You focus on you. So I'm like, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I will do what you say. All of a sudden, I begin to focus on me. Well, about 45 minutes later, I get a phone call. Ed's not back, right? He left. And he's kind of crying. And he said, my tire came off my car. And I'm like, what? And I said, where are you? He goes, I don't know. He was crying. It was raining, and he wasn't. He'd been in Atlanta for 3 years, but we had never been to the south side. He just got on 75 and went south. We found out later it was at the exit where you guys live, where our old house was. But we didn't even know that area at that time. So, but what happened was he's driving down the car at 75 miles an hour, he says, and all of a sudden a car blows the horn next to him and points to his car. And he's like, what are they pointing to? And at that time he sees his tire go off of his car, across four lanes of traffic, over the median of 75 south, and cross 75 north and lay on the other side of the street. He's going 75 miles an hour, and he says, and his car just gently went to the side and stopped. Didn't flip, There was no dent. He said, oh my God, I'm sure I ruined my car. And he's crying. So long story short, he gets towed and all that. He takes his car in, not any damage to his car at all. But let me tell you, that's the last time Ed ever did that. Because it wasn't just Ed, it was me involved. I let him go and trusted him with God. That was really the problem. I was trusting me to work it out and not trusting God to work it out in him and in me. Now, that's relationship 101. You get that clear in any relationship. Oh, gosh, it's like a magnet. Boom! In any relationship, if you stop trying to fix the other person and just give them to God, and there's a second part, once you give it to God, you can't take it back, or else you go back to where you started from. Give it to God and picture a wall spiritually around that person as you go. You're like, okay, I want to go get my hands on it and saying, God is saying, I have this. Keith, I have this. I can do this. And when you stop doing that, you will see God begin to change your relationship. Now, these days, 13 years later, we're going to go 13 years, going on 14 years. Whenever I'm sick, this is the most beautiful thing. I'll be in bed. I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling well. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for healing for Keith. There's a difference in him. He's the one that steps out in faith and prays for me. It's now 50-50. It's not me trying to drag him all the time. And I'm not saying that he was all so bad. He was just wounded in the past. And I saw those wounds, and because I thought, you've done this too. and you've let him go. And look what God's done. It's amazing. And because of letting him go and letting God do it, Ed could finally step up to the man of God God's called him to be. I'm preaching to couples, but it's not just with couples. It's with any relationship you're dealing with. Parents. Sometimes our parents are really like children, right? Now I have to say, I met your mom, Jenny. And Gina, your mother-in-law, and I could see so much when I was at your house. We had a Christmas thing. You know, you learn a lot when you're playing games. What's it called? Catchphrase. So we're doing catchphrase. If you ever played it, it's a lot of fun. We're passing it around. And I noticed a few times that things that were said against you from your mom. And I know where it was coming from. But I realized you probably had to grow up with a lot of that. So that's why words are so hard for you. And you do everything in your power to prove that that is not true. But you know what? You've done good. You have been faithful and you've done good. And God says you've done well and he's pleased with you. Those words, an affirmation from God, can heal any words that parents or that people have said to you. Just listen for them. He wants to tell you, you know what? There's things you've done well. But I saw that. And sometimes you may think, you know what? Nobody else sees it. People see it. And we understand the pain that causes. You know, anybody that went, and I understand it's a cycle and parents have these things and, you know, you look at abusive parents and what they abuse their kids and so on and so on. But you know what? God can stop that. Amen. We don't have to live in the past. Clean out your closet. Clean out those things that don't fit you anymore. Why are you wearing these labels? What is it like? Martin Francis Gerbeau, you remember that? Okay, that was a label that was out when I was 18. I still had one of those shirts in my closet. And God said, okay, Keith, the label is not even around anymore, yet you're wearing the shirt, right? Get rid of it. Get rid of those things that have identified you in the past. Some of you are making transitions in a different way. And it's painful to even remember some of the past. But you can always go back to the past and say, God was faithful during that time in my life. And I know he's going to be faithful through the time in the future. I know that I'm not even going to really finish this because I don't think I'm supposed to. He kind of got me off. And it's just the codependency part. I know there's people here that you are so dealing with that, and you're protecting it, thinking if you deal with it, God's going to strip things away from you. Oh, I just see hands just gripping it. And you're like, this is just, don't you understand that's the bondage? The freedom comes when you surrender and say, God, it's yours. I mean, I look at my relationship with Ed, and it's totally different now that I said, God, he's yours. Our relationship is yours. I don't have to put it into the way. There's folks, there's two sides of it. There's the rescuing, and there's the one that makes that person want to rescue them. Gosh, it's quiet, but I'm telling you what, this is, anybody receiving some stuff? I talked about the enabler. That was me. But the one who was there to be rescued was just as much in the situation. He knew how to push my buttons. He knew how to make me feel, not sorry for him, but empathize with him. Stop it. You want a healthy relationship? Cut it out. You want a whole relationship? Stop doing it. Stop the games. This is a new year. Don't go back. Stop the games. Stop the, you don't love me anymore. If you loved me, you would do this. Hello? If you really loved me, you would show me this. You would do it this way. Cut it out. You just say, you know what? I love you. That's period. Blanket. I love you. I'm here for you. I love you. But I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. I'm not going to date a 10-year-old. Ooh, this will preach, man. If you want a whole relationship for God, God cannot use you when you're constantly focused on each other.
That's right. That's good.
Oh, all my energy is spent on my relationship. Then you know what? Maybe it's not the right relationship. And maybe God is saying, you know what? Maybe this is not where you're supposed to be. Focus on him, both sides, and come together in wholeness in him. Oh, Pastor Keith, I want to do so much for God. But then all of your energy is spent on all the drama going around a specific relationship all the time. Don't you get tired of it? I was so tired of it after 3 years. So God, I don't want to take this anymore. I can't do this. And now I look back, and I can spot it so quickly. You know when you've been through something, how easy it is to spot? There's no shame involved, folks. We've all have weak areas of our life. But you can spot the drama in a minute. I don't do drama anymore. I don't. Drama is not good for anybody. You know, all of that, you know, I mean, let it go. You know, I don't do drama. I'm not going to enable anybody. Some of you just need to honestly grow up. It's true. There is a verse, and Paul says, grow up. Oh, I need to preach that message. Grow up in the Lord. Some of you just need to say, you know what, grow up. Oh, I think that they just sing so many songs. Grow up! Amen. Oh, I think they just have to do it. Grow up! Stop focusing on the negative things all the time and grow up and focus on God and what he's doing in your life. Amen. He's getting it. Stop focusing on what you don't have and focus on what you do have. You begin to change a mindset and stop having to have people always cater to you and hold you and nurture you and call and focus on God, and all of a sudden you're going to say, wow, look at what God's doing in my life. You know, I learned how to walk in a hurricane shelter. I thought about that a lot. Hurricane Betsy, 1965, New Orleans, Louisiana. My family, now I was over a year because I was born in August. So I'm 13 months, which tells me I was probably enabled quite a bit since I wasn't walking. So my mom was a very doting mom, right? She's a wonderful mom, and she loves, I was her mama's boy, I was a baby. So a lot of attention, and I had my neighbors, and they all helped me. So obviously, I probably never had to actually try to walk because everybody was picking me up. But when Hurricane Betsy came, I'm in a hurricane shelter. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Nobody's just picking me up and doing things. They're trying to get their stuff together. They're getting all their stuff out of their house. And my mom says, I just got up and started walking. And I think there's a message in this. When we stop trying to help everybody up and say, God, help them, help them. God, help them. You can do it. All of a sudden, they're going to realize, oh, wait a minute. Where is everybody? And they're standing up and they're saying, where's all these people that are supposed to be helping me? And then they look and they're walking. This is what the home groups do. This is what praise and worship does. This is what reading the Bible throughout the year does. It enables you to get strong in Him and not depend on somebody else. Cut it out. This is a hard message, but let me tell you, it's the best message you're going to have for some of you. Because you cannot go forward unless you make a declaration and decide, I'm cleaning out my closet. I am not going to wear this old stuff anymore. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to wear these hurts. Some of you have the hurts. Well, you know, I've shown this before, but I was wounded. The church threw me out here. Well, let me tell you, the church did this to me. My parents did this. And you wear it like a badge. And God said, you know what? Take it off and put on my robes of white. Because I've redeemed you. I've created a new creature. I want to clothe you in my righteousness. Get rid of that old stuff. Amen. So I'll close with this. Declaration is an important part of your healing. Not only thinking it, but declaring, God, I'm going to declare this with you. Some of you, it's your mouth that's stopping you because you keep it all in. It's like saying, God, I know what He's saying is right. I am deciding I am going to do this. You and me together, God. Don't include your partner in it. Don't get in the car and say, I think we need to work on... Oh, no, 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 no. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a time for the two of you together. I think I need to work on this. I do too. And the codependent one's going to say, don't you think? And he'll say, oh, I do. I do, I do. And a manipulation will start and reel them in. All of a sudden, the emotions will come and, oh, it's going to be beautiful. And then a week later, it's back to the same thing. No. Declare it with God separate. When you're face to face with Him, God, I declare that I am going to be different this year because of you. I am not going to go to the past. I'm cleaning out some of these old things in my life because I want the new things that you have for me and for my partner. How many of you want to stay in the same place? Nobody. None of you want to. Is it scary? Yeah. But there's so much more He wants to do in your life. You're here now. You're in Atlanta, correct? We're so excited you're here. He's got new things for you. You worked in a job. She works at a network channel with Jim Cantore, and I'm a Weather Channel junkie. And you came in as an apprentice. She came in really not sure she'd have a job there, but she learned those things, and God opened the doors up for you. Right now, some of you are really in the apprentice of relationships. You're coming in, and you might have been together for years, but you really haven't understood what it's like to be in a true 50-50 relationship. Don't you want to? Or you just want to stay in an apprenticeship? Or do you want the real thing? God can change each one of us, and He wants to do it in this new year. So stand with me. Hallelujah. Father, we declare that 2012 is going to be a new year. Not the old stuff. We're cleaning out our closet. We're not going to go back to those old clothes, those old way of thinking, those old things that we wore before, but new. Not identify with the past. Not identify what we've done in the past. New. New, new, new. New ways of thinking. New things for you. Not what you've done in the past. He will use what you've done in the past, but don't stay there. It will trap you. It's frustrating because you want to go back. You won't fit there because you've changed. You can't stay in that same place because you've changed. Those things don't fit you. He's got bigger things for you, better things for you. God, we declare that this is going to be a year of more of you in us. More of you in our church. More of you in our home. We're not going back to those old things. We're moving forward in you. And we declare it with our mouth and declare it with our heart that you will take us to that place. Your word says, you who began the good work will be faithful to complete that work. And we trust in that work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.